Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Miracle Outreach Ministries on Sunday. I'm Pastor Sabrina, and we're so happy that you could join us today. Amen. Praise the Lord. We're about to pray for the offering, and we hope that you'll join us in prayer.
Heavenly Father, I lift these offerings up to you. And Heavenly Father, ask for your anointing over them in Jesus' name. Heavenly Father, I ask that you cover those who weren't able to make it to church today, and I ask that you, and I lift them up to you as well in Jesus' name. Heavenly Father, I lift up today's sermon, and I ask that you cover past as you preach today in Jesus' name, I pray. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, everybody. Everybody, praise the Lord. Amen. We're so happy that you were able to join us today. And we thank the Lord for what he's been doing, because we've had many miraculous situations happen in the past month or so, especially after the devil decided he wanted to do the high day. Okay. Praise the Lord. You know, I've noticed that when you get out of the habit of doing something, when you come back in, sometimes you forget little details, you know. But nonetheless, I want to thank the Lord for what he's done and what he's doing and the lives that he's touching and the people that he's adding to this ministry. You know, the Lord is so good to us. All you have to do is be faithful to him. Amen? Remain obedient to him. Continue to press into him. And you will see the reward of the Lord come into your life. Amen? Amen. So today, we're going to enjoy and celebrate the death, burial, and resurrection of our Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. And we're happy. Now, those of you that have not gotten your communion elements together at this point, please do. That's why I keep talking, to give you time. Amen. So we want to thank the Lord for all that he's doing for us. We want to thank him for Griffin. How old is Griffin now? Great Grandma, how old is Griffin now? Yes, ma'am. How old is Griffin now?
On Tuesday,
he'll be 2 weeks old. Praise the Lord, everybody. Thank the Lord for Griffin. Griffin has joined us in the spirit and now in the flesh. Amen? Amen. I can remember the scent of changing baby diapers. Amen. Anyway, I've changed a lot of them, you see. I changed the ones for my siblings. I changed the ones for other Christians' children. And evidently, I became proficient enough that when I joined a church that had a sizable nursery, the Lord sent me to do some there, too. And not just one church, more than one church. The bigger the church, the more he was determined to send me there to change diapers. So evidently, I've gained some proficiency over the years. For those of you that have not had that wonderful opportunity, I pray that before you exit the planet, that you get your shot at it too. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. That is truly a situation that everyone should get to experience at some time. Amen? You see, someone had to do that grace and service for you. And you should come to the level of appreciation that ought to be in your life already. Amen? For their service that they rendered to your life. Amen? It made it a lot more comfortable for you and everyone else. Amen. Y'all getting mighty quiet. I don't know why. You see, there are services that people perform for us that we don't always remember. And sometimes we think that because we don't remember them, that we don't have to be particularly thankful. Well, that's not the way the Lord sees it. You were not there, person, at the foot of Calvary the day he gave his life for you. But you see, it's necessary for gratitude to be produced in your heart. Likewise, there are many persons, humans, regular folk, that no, they didn't die on the cross, but they gave up parts of their life so that you might have life and a better life. Amen? People you may never have met before have prayed for you. They've asked God to do something in your life, even if it meant just to bless you. They believed God with whatever faith they had that he would answer their prayer and that hopefully they would see the fruit of it in your life. Amen? So it is necessary for us to have gratitude and thanksgiving and appreciation in our hearts for everyone that has done anything, whether you know about it or not, for your life. I remember attempting to explain this to my brother when he was about to have surgery. He had fallen out of a trailer truck, and they had to do some work on his skull and on his brain. And so I explained to him, to the best of my ability, that he needed to be thankful for people, Christians that had never met him, that were praying for him, that were praying for God to intervene, that were praying, first of all, that he would live through the surgery. And he grumbled some unappreciative remark at me that I preferred to ignore. But let me tell you something. There are people that you have never met and that you will not meet until you get to glory that had something to do with you becoming a Christian. You may not have ever have heard of them. They may not even speak your native tongue. But they were instrumental by the Spirit of God in you becoming a Christian. I would like for you today, on the first day of this season, as we seek the Lord, to spend some time in true gratitude and appreciation, thanking the Lord for the contribution of those individuals. You see, there was some baby Christian on the other side of the world that just got their prayer language, that didn't even know your name, but they prayed for you because the Spirit of God unctioned them to. And you need to keep in mind that these people, some of them are still praying for you. You've never met them. You don't know them. You don't know where they're from, and they don't know you personally, but they're lifting you before the Lord. You see, church, we have a lot to be thankful for. We have a lot to be grateful for. And so whenever thanksgiving and gratitude and appreciation are mentioned, most people only want to think of Jesus. I've got news for you. There's a lot more. You see, if the angels didn't get involved, you might not be here today. And some of us know that for sure. If they did not get involved, if they closed their wings, put away their swords, you might not be here today. It got mighty quiet, Holy Spirit. Some of you, when you pray, you only think of Jesus. You don't think of your Heavenly Father. You don't think of God the Holy Spirit. But as your pastor, I'm here to correct you. You made a mistake. Amen? There's a lot that has to do with you being a Christian and still being alive and breathing on the earth today. So today is our day of gratitude. It's our day of appreciation. It's our thank you day for everyone and every circumstance that God allowed into your life that brought you to the place where you received the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and brought you forward to today. Amen? This is your assignment for today. This is not a two-minute prayer. This requires you to put your heart and soul and mind and body and strength into it. Amen? So now you know. So now you know. We want to thank the Lord that Griffin will be a strong boy, becoming a man, becoming a man of God, to give God the glory. Amen? Griffin is a boy who is becoming a man, who is becoming a man of God, to give God the glory. We thank the Lord for that. Amen? We thank the Lord for that. And so his great-grandmama is going to teach him what I said. Amen. She's going to teach him that. Amen. He is a boy. He'll say, I am a boy. Becoming a man. Becoming a man. A man of God. A man of God. To give God the glory. Amen. Praise the Lord. So, I take it by now that you have your elements ready. And Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, as we come before you, entering into this season of seeking your face, we ask you to sanctify this time that we've set apart for you, for us, together. We ask you to bless us, to help us, to speak to us, to strengthen us, to encourage us, to correct us. Whatever we need, Lord, we are humbling ourselves by an act of our will, and we open ourselves to whatever you will tell us to do. We thank you, and we give you praise for it, Father. In Jesus' mighty name, and everybody said, amen. Amen. We have such a good God. It's going to take you at least 30 minutes just to thank him. Amen? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So now we come to the part of the service where we need to repent. Repent? Yes, repent. When you sin, you repent. Amen? So I'm going to give you a few moments to repent on your own. You may begin. The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? For we, being many, are one bread and one body. For we are all partakers of that one bread. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. Thank you, Lord. Partake of the bread. After the same manner also, he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Thank you, Lord. Partake of the cup. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for the healing that comes with Holy Communion. Thank you for the healing, Lord, that comes with Holy Communion. Amen. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he comes. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep or are dead. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We give you praise. We give you glory and honor. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. That's good. Amen. Thank you, Lord. You know, saints, while you're down there thanking the Lord for all the other things I've mentioned, you might want to thank him for Holy Communion as well. Amen. You might want to think about that. You got a lot to thank God for. You should take out some time. Some time. To think about all the things you actually ought to thank God for. And spend that time thanking him. Amen? It'll make a change in your spirit, man. It'll make a change in your spirit, man. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases. Father, thank you for telling us that you want us to be healthful and healthy. Amen? You want us to be healthy. You want us to be healthy. It's important to you. Heavenly Father, thank you for sending your word to us, healing us and delivering us from our destruction. We thank you for your word, which is alive and powerful. It is sharper than any two-edged sword. The word of God teaches us that you know everything about us. You said in your word, Father, that as we were being formed in the womb, as you were forming us in the womb, you knew us. That's intimate acquaintance. Amen? The word of God pierces through the body, leaving open the innermost recesses. Health, healing, and deliverance are your children's bread. You are the Lord who heals us. The scriptures declare whatever things we desire when we pray, we must believe that we receive them and we shall have them. Your word says, I will bring health and cure, and I will cure them, and I will reveal unto them the abundance of peace and truth. That's in Jeremiah. Father, in Jesus' name, we seek you for improved health and healing in every area of our lives. We receive your promise that healing and health are ours. Thank you, Father, for restoring health and vitality to us. Our faith does not rest in the wisdom of people, but in the great power of your word and your spirit. We know that all healing and health come from you, Lord. All healing and health come from you, Lord. You love us and bore stripes for us that we may be healed and healthy at all times. As we wait upon you, our strength is being renewed, and we are mounting up with wings like an eagle. Lord, you have stirred in us a merry heart. Yes, Lord, this is good medicine. A merry heart is good medicine. Through your spirit, our bodies are being quickened again. We are experiencing the resurrection power of Jesus Christ our Lord. Thank you, Father, for the health which you are imparting to us. Amen. 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 Thank you, Lord. Thank you so very much. Amen. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. So, today, hold on just a minute, church. Thank you for your patience, church. Amen. So, we've been talking about waiting for an answer. We've been talking about looking for an answer. Well, today we're going to talk about waiting for an answer. Isaiah chapter 59, beginning with verse 1. Isaiah chapter 59, beginning with verse 1. Isaiah. We know Isaiah. He's a good old friend of ours. Chapter 59, beginning with verse 1. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened, that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy, that it cannot hear. But your iniquity have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear. Amen? Amen. So, saints, we are continuing on our study of possible barriers, obstacles, snags, obstructions, drawbacks, or hindrances to the answers of our prayers to God. Amen? How's the sound? Did you do that? Amen. Praise God. We have come to understand from Isaiah that sin and iniquity of any kind in our lives will hinder our prayer life. So we don't want hindrances. We don't want one hindrance. We happen to need an active and effective prayer life. Well, in Mark chapter 11, Mark chapter 11, beginning with verse 25, Mark chapter 11, beginning with verse 25, God has put before us some standards of his. And since they're his, they're a part of him. He's calling us to act like him. He's calling us and teaching us and training us and disciplining us so that we will behave like him. Verse 25, and when ye stand praying, forgive. if ye have aught against any. If anybody got on your nerves, cut you off as you were coming to church, this is a good time to get caught up. Amen? That your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. So if you want forgiveness, you have to sow some forgiveness. Amen? It's called sowing and reaping. Just like when you put seeds in the ground and there's sunlight and water, you eventually reap a crop of whatever you sow. So if forgiveness is what you need, and I don't know anyone who does not, even newborn babies, they do things that upset their parents. Amen? Why? Because they're babies and that's what they do. So when ye stand praying, forgive, if you have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses. Amen? So somebody got up grumpy. Maybe they didn't get enough sleep. And you said a cheery good morning, and they went, and you went, well, I didn't do anything to you. Well, before you take the time to get offended, move right over here where it says, and when you stand praying, forgive, if you have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespass. Amen? Amen. Forgiveness is something that we should do continually. Why? Because it keeps your slate clean before God. Amen. Amen. We all want our prayers to be effective, so much so that when we focus on the result, that we focus on the results of our prayers, and we often lose sight of the incredible privilege that we have in prayer. Ah, the privilege that we have in prayer. Think about it. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Everything to God in prayer. We have that privilege. The world doesn't have that privilege. That privilege belongs to the saints. We cast our burdens on the Lord. That's because we have a relationship with the Lord. Amen? You see, relationship has privileges. And prayer is one of the most important privileges that we have as a result of our relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ and his Father and to God, the Holy Spirit. We need to prize it far more than we do. I dare say we take it for granted a bit too much. Amen? It is an amazing thing that people like us can speak to the creator of the universe and be heard and acknowledged by him. But God goes even further. He hears us and acts on our behalf. He doesn't just sit there and listen and go, all right, that sounds okay. No, that's not what he does. He acts. He does something. And so he tells us that faith without works is dead. He tells us that we can't just come to church and sit up and listen and not do anything, because that's not the way he behaves. He listens to us in prayer, and he does something. So when he speaks to us through his word, through holy and sacred music, when he speaks to us through a sermon, when he speaks to us through an exhortation, we are expected to act like him and do something. Amen? Amen. We need to clearly understand, saints, that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ had to suffer and die on the cross for it to be possible for us to approach the throne of grace to worship and praise as we do. Hebrews chapter 10, beginning with verse 19. Hebrews chapter 10, beginning with verse 19. Hebrews chapter 10, beginning with verse 19. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. Remember, in the Old Testament, the high priest went in one time a year to do the things necessary for atonement for the sins of the people. And if he did not come out, if that bell and that pomegranate didn't make noise together, they had to pull him out of there because he was dead. But you see, we had the privilege of entering into the holiest by the blood of Jesus Christ. That's why we're not dead trying to approach God the way we do. By a new and living way, which he has consecrated for us. Jesus consecrated Christianity for us through the veil. There was a veil in the temple that was extremely large and heavy, separating the Holy of Holies from the holy place. It represented Jesus, as it says in this scripture, through the veil, that is to say, his flesh, and having an high priest over the house of God. Let us draw near. Let us draw near. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water, the water of the word of God. Amen. Now, since our sins have been forgiven, the sacrifice of Jesus Christ speaks for us. His blood has a voice. It speaks on our behalf. Amen. So now we may enter in. Now we may enter in. Now we may enter in. We can now bow before his throne of grace. Now we may enter in. So, saints, enter in. Enter into the presence of Almighty God. Saints, because of the blood of Jesus, we are able to come into the very presence of God himself. If Jesus' body had not been torn, had not the veil of the temple been torn from heaven downward to earth, there would be no new and living way for us to approach God. Just as Jesus' flesh was being torn apart, so the Father from heaven tore that veil in two, from heaven to earth. Now that veil, they say, was about 4 inches thick, and it was made of extremely heavy material. So let me explain what I'm saying, maybe just a little clearer. You know, the Bible says, what we bind on earth, he binds in heaven. What we loose on earth, he looses in heaven. What was torn on the cross, his flesh, that veil, the Father tore the veil in the temple from top, from heaven to earth. You see, when we do things on earth, the Father responds from heaven. We need to remember that. Our great high priest, our king, the Lord Jesus Christ, rules over all. So let us go in to God himself. No barrier, no block, no hindrance, out of Jesus and the tearing of his flesh. The spilling of his blood did that for us. Amen? Yes, with true heart, fully trusting him to receive us because we have been sprinkled with the blood of the Lamb of God to make us clean, and because our bodies have been washed with the pure water of the Word of God. Now we can receive all that God has promised us. There is no longer any room for doubt. There is no longer any room for doubt. There is no question that God will do what he says. Prayer is communication with God that believers should participate in continually. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17. It's a very simple verse. It only has three words. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17. And it reads, pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. So that means we should always be in a posture of prayer. Always. Always. He says to pray without ceasing. Continue the communication with him without ceasing. Now think about this for just a moment. God has children all over the world, on earth, and he has children in heaven. And he tells all of us to pray without ceasing. And he hears every single one of us individually. But he says, pray without ceasing. He wants to answer our prayers. So don't just, okay, I prayed on Wednesday. Well, today is Sunday. Let's pick it back up. He wants to answer our prayers. He wants to hear from all of his children at once. Can you imagine? You got tired with the few you had. And sometimes you told them to be quiet because they were all talking at the same time. But that's not how he is. He is going to give us, though, about 30 minutes in heaven to be still and be quiet. And then he's going to let us loose again. He wants to hear your prayers. Don't be too busy to pray. Don't be too preoccupied to talk to him, to communicate with him. When you don't know what to say, you've got a prayer language. Amen? Turn it off. Praise the Lord. You know, if he gave you a brand new car, nobody could keep you from driving that car. The people that know you would hardly see you because you'd be driving it everywhere. Well, he's given you a prayer language to talk to him with. Use it. Amen? Use it. In Luke chapter 18, verse 1, Luke chapter 18, verse 1. He has something very important to say to us. Luke chapter 18, verse 1. And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint, and not to quit, and not to give up, and not to stop. That men ought always to pray and not to faint, not to quit, not to give up. Perseverance in prayer. God honors that. Saints, we ought always to pray and not to quit or give up. The scripture does not say that we are to take over another saint's walk in God and do all their praying for them because they won't. Not because they're physically incapable, because they just won't. Amen? Do we all understand that clearly? The Bible does not say that you jump in their shoes and start living out their Christian life and do all their praying for them because they won't do it. Amen. I think we got that. We are to present our request to God in faith. So in James chapter 1, verse 5, James chapter 1, verse 5. If any of you lack wisdom, you don't know what to do and you don't know what not to do. What is the solution that God offers? He says, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally. God is generous with his wisdom, generous with his counsel. Amen? And upbraideth not. He's not going to get on your case because you don't know the answer. And it shall be given him. So if you don't have wisdom, you don't know the answer, you don't have the solution, you don't know what to do, you don't know what to do or what not to do, let him ask of God. And God gives generously to all. And he doesn't get on your case just because you don't know the answer. And it shall be given to you. Amen? So you can stop that, well, I don't know what to do. But you know what to do about when you don't know what to do. Mark chapter 11, verse 22. Mark chapter 11, the Gospel of Mark chapter 11, verse 22. And Jesus answering saith unto them, Have faith in God. That's a command, not a suggestion. Mark chapter 11, beginning with verse 22. And Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. So what comes out of your mouth to God matters. He says, and shall not doubt in his heart. He didn't say head. He said heart. There is a difference. Doubts will come into your mind. But that's why we have 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 5. That's why we cast down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Jesus Christ. We bind that thought in Jesus' name. That's what we do when doubt comes into the mind. But he says, under no circumstance, allow it to slip into your heart. He can't honor that. He would like to answer your prayer, but you cannot have doubt in your heart. But shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass. God believes what comes out of his mouth is coming to pass, and you're going to have to learn to be like him. You're going to have to learn to believe that what you ask him for, that that's coming to pass. You're going to have to learn to act like him. You're going to be in this family, you're going to have to act like your father. He shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you in verse 24, that what things soever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that ye receive them. When ye pray, at whatever you desire, when you open your mouth to let that prayer out, believe that you receive them, the answers, ye, and ye shall have them. It didn't say ask for it first, and then 2 weeks later you'll think about it and start trying to believe. No, it says when you open your mouth, you need to be in faith then. And some of us have not had answers to prayers because when we prayed them, we were not in faith believing. Amen? Does that clear things up for everybody? Praise God. When we prayed them, we were not obeying this scripture. That's important. Amen? Praise God. We are to pray with thanksgiving. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. We are to pray not with grumbling, murmuring, scorning, and complaining. That's not the method. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, it helps us to understand. He says, be careful or anxious for nothing. So that means you don't have to come all upset and all confused and all of that just got to go away. You need to calm down. Amen? Because God's got the answer and you know it. Be careful or anxious for nothing, but in everything, did you see he said everything? He didn't say most things. He didn't say the things you don't know how to handle. He said E-V-E-R-Y, everything. So if there are things you're concerned about, but you didn't bring them to him in prayer, and specific requests with thanksgiving, you violated this scripture. That means you're in sin. Okay? It says, be careful for nothing. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. But in every, E-V-E-R-Y, thing, by prayer and supplication. Supplication is specific request. In other words, get to the point. Say what's on your mind. With thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. So I guess you're going to have to spend some time on your E-V-E-R-Y thing today, too. Amen? Amen. Because that's the way it's supposed to be. We are to pray with a spirit of forgiveness toward others. We just talked about that in Mark chapter 11, verse 25, that you can't go flying into the throne room wanting to request something and you haven't forgiven. Amen? I've done this when I was in a hurry before. I can't remember what the request is, but I can remember the Lord saying, did you forgive them? And I went, oops. It's good when God corrects. It's a good thing. We are to ask in Jesus' name. John, the Gospel of John, chapter 14, verses 13 through 14. It's not that we don't know many of these things. It's just that when we get ready to pray, sometimes some of it slips our mind. So we need a little refreshing from time to time. John chapter 14, beginning with verse 13. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, so that means we have to ask it in Jesus' name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Isn't that right, Sister Jessie? Amen. He says you must ask it in his name. Must needs be. Amen. So, with a heart that is right with God, as it should be, James chapter 5, verse 16. James chapter 5, verse 16. James chapter 5, verse 16. Confess your fault one to another and pray one for another. Why? That ye may be healed. Wow. You mean my healing is connected to that? Yes. Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another, that ye may be healed. This is part of the healing process. Well, I don't know anybody that I can confess it to. Pastor may be reached at gproom@outlook.com. Amen. She doesn't tell what you tell her. It's confidential. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Well, what does that mean? It means a prayer that is situated properly with the love of God and the faith of God coming from within, of a person in right standing with God, releases much power toward the end of the prayer. You've got to be lined up right. So we're going over these few things so that we can say, okay, God, I've got it. I did this one and I did this one, but oops, I missed on that one. All right? So you see, your heart's got to be right with God. You can't have a bunch of junk going on in your life. It is our faith in our God, not the length of our prayers, that pleases him to whom we pray. So God is not desiring to be impressed with your eloquence or intelligence, or you trying to pray like somebody else that you heard, because that's just mimicking. He wants a prayer that comes out of you to him. It's supposed to be genuine and authentic. God knows our needs before we ask. Matthew chapter 6, verse 8. Matthew chapter 6, verse 8. Matthew chapter 6, verse 8. Be not ye therefore like unto them. He was talking about some hypocrites. For your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before you ask him. So before you get your little sentence all put together, he already knows. He's just waiting to hear it from you. You know, like the child that's been playing with their toy that they really enjoy. And all of a sudden, the batteries run down, and it won't go anymore. And so they pick it up, and they bring it to their dad and says, fix. Well, that's his prayer. And your dad does not expect you to sound like somebody else. He expects you to sound like you. So please, don't get in the Global Prayer Warriors prayer room trying to sound like you're some college professor or seminary graduate when you're not. Be you. Be authentic. Be truthful. Be sincere. Amen? Nothing. Well, there are some more things, but that's one of the more disheartening things. You see, when you see someone who's trying to spend their time mimicking somebody else, it means they have an idol. Your Father wants you to come before him as you, not impersonating somebody else. Everybody understand? Let me see the hand. All right, very good. He doesn't want any impersonators. He wants the real you. If you speak with broken English when you pray, he ought to hear that. If you speak with chopped up Chinese, that's what he ought to hear when you pray. Amen? Thank you. Thanks, we are to clear ourselves of any unconfessed sin in our hearts when we pray. Saints, we are not allowed to reject God's calling us to do something or ignoring his advice. Yes, that will hinder your prayers for sure. I'll say it again. We are not allowed to reject God calling us to do something or ignoring his advice. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 1, please. Proverbs chapter 1, beginning with verse 24. Proverbs chapter 1, beginning with verse 24. Proverbs chapter 1, beginning with verse 24. And God has something to say. He says, because I have called and ye refuse. I have stretched out my hand, and no man regarded. But ye have set at naught all my counsel, and would none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. Ooh. I don't think anybody wants to really be in that position, do you? Well, he says, because he called and we refused, because he stretched out his hand and we didn't pay it any attention, because we threw his counsel right to the wind and wouldn't have any of his corrections. He's busy trying to correct us, and we're just not going to be corrected because we are not wrong. You know that haughty little spirit. You've met him before. He says he's going to laugh when your problem shows up, because it surely will. And he will mock when your fear comes. He'll poke fun at you. Nobody wants that, do you? I didn't think so. So we're going to get this passage right? We're going to line up with the passage. Amen. He even said that you'll call him and he won't answer. Nobody wants to call heaven and nobody else answers the phone, okay? Nobody wants that. I don't think even sinners want that. Amen? He says you'll rise up early trying to get his attention, but you won't find it. That is not a good feeling. So let's avoid that, okay? Let's not go that way. We are not to worship idols. No, not even the idol of our own self-will. We have a tendency to bow there far too often. Amen? Successful prayer communications is a way to strengthen our relationship with our Father in heaven. He invites us to come boldly before the throne of grace and to pray with confidence that he will extend his mercy and grace to help us in our time of need. Matthew chapter 5, beginning with verse 23. Matthew chapter 5, beginning with verse 23. I'm missing ahead. Oh, there it is. Matthew chapter 5, beginning with verse 23. Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. Now I'm going to say something about that, because some people have been hung up on this, and I'm going to try to unhang you. Amen? Saints, when this is not possible, and there are certain circumstances in which this really isn't possible, what do you do? Well, you must seek the Lord to determine what he would have you to do. That's what you do. You have to ask him, Lord, what do you want me to do? Because right now, I'm not able to do what you ask of me. Amen? Amen. That's what you do. You don't just sit there poking your mouth out. Okay, Matthew chapter 18. Matthew chapter 18, beginning with verse 21. Matthew chapter 18, beginning with verse 21. Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? How many times have I got to do this, really? I did it yesterday and the day before and the day before. How many times do I have to do this? Till seven times? Like, is that enough? Verse 22, Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. How much is that, Brother Bill? He says it's 490. And then if he messes up, you got to start over again, you know? Amen. Amen. I'm not going to tell you what he said. Luke chapter 11, verse 4. Luke chapter 11, verse 4. Luke chapter 11, verse 4. And forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. Indebted to us. You know, there are people sometimes that are indebted to us for many different kinds of reasons. Sometimes we let them off the hook when they probably should have still been on the hook. But we do it anyway. Why? Because God has let us off the hook so many times. We also forgive when we loan someone money and they don't pay us back. Amen. Parents of these adult children, adult because they passed the age of childhood, and they are officially adults, but they still act like children. Amen. And I'm going to stop right there. So that's a frequent indebted situation. Mom, I'm broke. I'm broke and where's the money I gave you? Well, and then comes the long story. I hope you're sitting down because it's a long story. And I need you to send me some money. Now, the guilty people don't have to tell me that they've done that at some point. It's okay. However, after you got the money, you said thank you. And to this day, you still haven't paid it back. So, on behalf of the members of Miracle Outreach Ministries, as the pastor, whomever you are, I forgive you in Jesus' name. Amen. We got that down now? Amen. Amen. Why? Because we want the next part. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. So see, we just got that all cleaned up and covered just like that. See? It works. It's okay. It's all good. Amen. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32. And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Now, parents, you love your child no matter what age your child is. And your child will need constant forgiveness. Amen. It comes with parenthood. It says, be ye kind one to another. after you have calmed down. Tender-hearted, remembering some of the dumb things you've done. Forgiving one another. Why? Even as God, for Christ's sake, for Jesus' sake, has forgiven you. Sibling, let me talk to you. Be ye kind one to another. That doesn't mean right after that nasty little quip that you threw at them. Lord, it's rough preaching this one. Be ye kind, God says, one to another. Tender-hearted. Not the way you have been. Forgiving one another. Yes, they did it. You know they did it. They got in your face and said they didn't wreck your car, but they're lying and they did do it. Okay, now that we've settled that issue, be ye kind one to another. That means you don't greet that one with your fist to their jaw. Okay? Amen, Jesus. Tender-hearted. That means when you let them up off the ground, they're still breathing. Forgiving one another. That means that after they get up, you don't run them down, jump on their backs, and start all over again. Why? Because God, for Christ's sake, has already forgiven you of the beating that you're putting on them right then. Do we have that straight now, church? You sure about that? Are you certain that you have it? Brother Marshall, do you have that down, sir? Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, I know that there are people that are married to another human being. Mm-hmm. Thank God I have grace for this sermon. And be ye kind one to another. So that means you're not going to talk bad about your mother-in-law or her siblings and their behavior. You're going to be kind. You're not going to say, well, I told you so, blah, 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 blah. You're just not going to do that, right? Right. Praise God. Tender-hearted. Why? Because now that your mother in the law, your father in the law, and your siblings in the law, they're yours now, too. They stop saying amen. They're yours now, too. Forgiving one another. Why? Because God, for Christ's sake, has already forgiven you. So we understand what we're supposed to do now, right? Praise the Lord. Colossians chapter 3, verse 13. Colossians chapter 3, verse 13. Colossians chapter 3, verse 13. Forbearing one another. What does that mean? It means putting up with one another. That's right. God says to put up with folks. That's what he said to do. Why? Because he puts up with us. Yes. And here it is again. Forgiving one another. if any man have a quarrel against any. Now, on your job, you're going to have to forbear with the other people that work there. No matter what they look like or what color their hair is, or if they have tattoos covering their entire skull and entire body, and you want to go, ooh, you can't do that. Amen. You have to forbear with them and try to think maybe they were intoxicated when they did that. Okay? All right. Not in full control of their faculties. How about that? Forbearing one another and forgiving one another, because people do unrighteous things. We'll call it that. If any man have a quarrel against any, he said, put up with them and forgive them. Why? Because Jesus forgave us and puts up with us. So also do ye. Amen. So now, if Griffin decides suddenly that what was in his stomach should come out on his mom's clothes, she's going to forbear with him, forgive him, and have no quarrel with him. Amen? Praise the Lord. And she'll just need to clean it up. Praise God. Another possibility of hindrance to prayer is failure to abide in Christ and his word. John, the Gospel of John, chapter 15, verse 7. The Gospel of John, chapter 15, verse 7. If ye, that is you, abide in me, that is Jesus, and my words abide in you. That means they have to live in you. That means you have to have deposited them inside yourself to stay. Ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. You see, not too long ago, the Lord was explaining to us that one of the reasons we don't have answers as soon as we would desire is because there ain't enough word in us. And only you can put out that forest fire. He said, you have to abide in him, and his words have to abide in you. They keep you properly regulated. Amen?
Amen?
To abide in Christ is to live, continue, and remain in Christ. To live in him or to remain in him. When a person is saved or born again, they are in Christ. How do you know? Romans chapter 8, verse 1. Romans chapter 8, verse 1. Romans chapter 8, verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Who are they? Those who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit of God. That's a good reason not to walk in the flesh. Amen? Amen. It means they are held secure in a permanent relationship with the Lord. Therefore, abiding in Christ is not a special level of Christian experience. Instead, it is the position of all true believers and saints. The difference between those abiding in Christ and those not abiding in Christ is the difference between the saved and the unsaved. The phrase abiding in Christ pictures an intimate, close relationship and not just a superficial acquaintance. In the Gospel of John, chapter 15, beginning with verse 4, the Gospel of John, chapter 15, beginning with verse 4, we find these words, "Abide in me and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you." So Jesus told the disciples that drawing life from him is essential. He used the illustration of the branches united to a vine. The branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it remains attached to the vine. Saints, if we are to abide in Christ, his word must abide in us also. If you abide in me and my words, the scriptures, abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. Without that vital union with Christ that salvation provides, there can be no real life nor productivity. Yet another hindrance to answered prayer is becoming too busy. Becoming too busy. Mark, the Gospel of Mark, chapter 13, beginning with verse 32. The Gospel of Mark, chapter 13, beginning with verse 32. "But of that day and that hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father. Take ye heed, watch and pray, for ye know not when the time is." Saints, these scriptures draw our attention to be on guard and stay alert. Jesus was preparing the disciples for intense persecution and tribulation in the days ahead. And, say and, he was preparing us for the end times in which we now live. He was preparing them. The Holy Spirit was recording his word. Why? To prepare us for now and the time that we are progressing in. Amen? Amen. He was preparing us so that we wouldn't lose hope. He gives us hope to endure these trials by describing his glory, his glorious return as the conquering king of the universe. Now, we know that there are Christian people all over the world that are being locked up in prison. There are even people that are locked up in prison because they did not agree with the globalist explanation for COVID. They knew better, and they wouldn't buy it, and they wouldn't shut their mouth. Not only were they blocked off social media and off just about all other forms of media, but some of them were locked up in prison because they kept telling the truth. They wouldn't go with the government's narrative. They wouldn't agree with Fauci and his lies. And so they suffered financially. Many of them had their licenses suspended or revoked. not to mention the January 6th prisoners, who did no insurrection at all. So you see, whether it's here in the U.S. under your nose or in some other part of the world, in Nigeria, in the U.K., in Canada, wherever it may be, Christians are being persecuted and conservatives are being persecuted and patriots are being persecuted because we won't shut up. Because we won't just sit down, say nothing, and go along to get along. Jesus had to prepare us for this. There's no point in whimpering. We're going through it. And we're going through it with grace. Jesus wanted to guard us from despairing in dark times. The Lord wants us to live in a state of readiness for his second coming. You know, the thief in the night thing, he plans to do it. Jesus said, no one knows the day or hour when these things will happen. And since you don't know when that time will come, be on guard and stay alert. Pay attention. If we keep our focus on the Lord, we will not miss the answers to our prayers when they arrive. Really? Seriously. Blind Bartimaeus can explain to you how to do that. Other people are telling you to shut up and be quiet, and you're calling out to Jesus. Son of David, have mercy on me. You see, he, no matter what they said and did, he kept his focus on the answer to his situation. So he didn't miss his answer. He didn't get distracted by them trying to tell him to shut up and keep his mouth closed and all. No, he just kept on going. Just like a Gatling gun, he just kept moving. We will be alert and receive our blessings because we will be quick to obey the promptings of the Holy Spirit. Now, I mentioned to you about my blessing at the post office. But let me tell you how I got there. I was home busy doing some what I call busy work. And all of a sudden, I sat up in the chair. And I said, Holy Spirit, do I need to go to the post office? He said, yes. So I put down what I was doing. I got dressed, and I went to the post office. That was a simple enough thing to do. You think, well, you don't have to ask the Holy Spirit about that. Oh, yes, you do. I've been trying to teach you this with Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 through 7. Oh, yes, you do. And so I arrived, I took care of my little bit of business, I came out, I got in my vehicle, and as I was cranking my vehicle, I saw somebody I knew coming out of the post office. And so I backed my car up and went down there with the vehicle where she was getting in, and I went to the side of the vehicle, and I tapped on the window, and guess what? In answer to my prayers that I prayed decades ago, was sitting right there. Because before we stopped talking, she told me. So, do you have to ask the Holy Spirit about every little thing? Yes, you do. Do you have to obey the promptings of the Holy Spirit? Yes, you do. Do you have to be alert and paying attention? Yes, you do. Amen? Amen. So in Mark chapter 13, verse 37, he says, what I say unto you, I say unto all. Watch. He says, watch. You don't go to sleep on a watch. You pay attention. Now, let's visit 1 Peter. 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3, beginning with verse 1. 1 Peter chapter 3, beginning with verse 1. Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husband, not somebody else's. Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husband, that if any obey not the word, they also may be without the word, won by the conversation or lifestyle of the wife. See, you can live your Christianity so that some people finally catch on. While they behold your chaste conversation or lifestyle coupled with fear or reverence or respect. All right, now we're going to go down. Here it is, verse 4. Let's go to verse 4. But let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible. That's Christ in you. Even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. So God puts a high value on a meek and quiet spirit. I want to explain what it doesn't say. It does not say a doormat. It does not say passivity. It says a meek and quiet spirit. Please don't mistranslate that in your mind. For after this manner, in the old time, the holy women also, who trusted in God, adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husband, not somebody else's. All right. Verse 7. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge. No, you don't automatically have all that knowledge the minute you meet them, nor the minute you say, I do. It's a progressive kind of thing. Dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor. Let me spell this for you. H-O-N-O-U-R, giving honor unto the wife. So if you're giving dishonor to your wife instead of honor, as the Bible says, you are in sin and are in need of repentance. As unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together. That means you receive something by inheritance together of the grace of life, not the grace of death, the grace of life. That what? Your prayers be not hindered. So if you're not honoring your wife, husband, know that your prayers will be hindered. You can pray for that new job till you can't pray anymore. But if you're not giving honor to your wife as it pleases the Lord, not according to your own opinion, but according to what God expects of you, then expect your prayers to be hindered.
Amen. Suddenly got quiet in the church again. Praise God. You see, finally,
be ye all of one mind. So that means in the marriage relationship, you have to find a way to come into agreement on your domestic situation. Because Amos 3:3 says two can't walk together unless they be agreed. You can't keep that friction going on because that's strife and that's a demon coming in. You've taken the roof off the house so the demon of strife can come in. So you're going to have to find a way, through the Spirit of God, I hope, to be of one mind, to come into agreement. Amen? Having compassion one of another. Love as brethren. You know, if you're Christian, your wife is your sister in Christ as well. Be pitiful. Be courteous. That means you have to keep your manners going, whether you like it or not, whether you feel like it or not. Amen. Not rendering evil for evil. Well, you did that. No, you don't do that in Christ. Or railing for railing. What's railing? You know what railing is. Why? Because you've done it. But she said, no, your mouth should have been closed. There's a time to speak and a time to be silent. Amen. Praise the Lord. But contrary-wise, blessing. So that means you're not supposed to be cursing each other out. Lord, they stopped talking to me. Knowing that ye are thereunto called. You're called not to get back at each other, not to retaliate, not to cuss each other out, but contrary-wise, you're to bless one another. Why? Because you were called to bless one another, that you should inherit a blessing. For he that will love life and see good days, here it comes, let him refrain his tongue from evil, and his lips, that they speak no guile, no deceit. Amen. God has ordained and blessed marriage. Who? God. God Almighty. Genesis chapter 2, verse 18. Genesis chapter 2, verse 18. Genesis chapter 2, verse 18. And the Lord God said. Who said it? The Lord God. No, CNN did not say it. Abraham Lincoln didn't say it. Bill Clinton didn't say it. The Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him an help meet or suitable for him. Okay, here it is. A woman's anatomy is designed and suitable to pair with a man's anatomy. Are you all going to choke on me? Okay. It was designed that way. Okay, Lord, help. They jumped off the boat with me, Lord. They just jumped off the boat. Get them back on the boat. They were designed to be paired together. You cannot say that with a male and another male. Amen. Do we make that clear? I think I said that as delicately as I can. Brother Marshall, I hope your sensibilities were not disturbed. Now, God said it is not good that man should be alone. You see, when man was in the garden alone, he had no pairing. He had no partnership. So he was watching all the other animals with their mate. And he was wondering why he couldn't do it. Okay, don't y'all jump off the boat with me, okay? Stay on the boat. Stay on the whole ship of Zion. Stay on the boat, okay? He didn't understand why he didn't have what the animals had. Amazing. A pairing. A complimentary one. Okay? So he was trying out things that don't work. And so God says, it is not good that the man should be alone. So God came up with an answer and a solution. I will make him an help meet or suitable for him, which means the man should only choose a helper, a mate, a supporting one that is actually suitable for him. Did I say that plain enough? Did I embarrass you, brother? Thank you. Amen. So we said, everybody got that. Whew. Okay, praise God. I tell you. So, Proverbs chapter 18, verse 22 explains to the husband, to the man who's seeking a wife, how God looks at the situation. God is not asking the man for his opinion. God's giving his opinion. Amen? He says, whoso findeth a wife, wife as in female, which means that the whoso should be a male, with the proper male anatomy. Amen? And the wife should have the supporting female anatomy. Whoso findeth a wife, not a girlfriend, not a whatever else they call them now, or whatever else they used to call them, or all those slang terminology. He's very specific that there is a covenant relationship between the two. He says, whoso findeth a wife, that eliminates all the other kind of male-female relationship. Findeth a good thing. So, for the male to decide that his spouse, his wife, is his enemy, is to fight against the word of God. Because God says to the whoso that when you find a wife, you find it a good thing. That means he puts his stamp of approval there. We got that? And there's an additional blessing now. Obtaineth favor of the Lord. You need God's favor. So, all of those males who are running around in society, refusing to go forward in maturity by obtaining a wife, and are choosing to sponsor abortions and have become upset because abortions are now being limited and are running to the urologist to get a vasectomy, I feel for you. because there is a judgment from the Lord concerning such.
Amen. Amen.
The creation account indicates clearly that the family is the central unit in society and that its character and maintenance is determined by marriage. Marriage is not just a contract or a piece of paper. Marriage, as in Genesis chapter 2, verse 18, began and was established by God himself. It is to be held in a state of honor by all. It is to be held in a state of honor by all. When Christian married couples fail to honor their marriage as set forth in Scripture, they cause vulnerable others to disdain, criticize, and reject what God has blessed. God has determined that the male partner needs a helper and a companion, not just a sexual participant. So God created and prepared for the man a woman, a gift from God, who is made out of something taken from man and is dependent upon him. When marriage is undertaken, both parties accept full, F-U-L-L, responsibilities of the union. So that means the wife can't be doing 99.9% of the praying, and the husband sits there and grunts an amen every now and then. Okay? You know, you just can't make it in on just because your wife prays. Well, my wife knows God, but you don't. See, she wasn't born again for you. She was born again for her. So the question is, who's going to be born again for you? Nobody can do that but you. Oh, but my wife, she's this at the church and she's that at the church and she does this and she's a prayer meeting in the house and blah, 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 just on and on. But what have you done? If they ever do call your name on the roll up there, what is by your name? See, if the wife is doing most of the praying and you're not hardly doing any, you're already in trouble with God because he put you in a leadership role in the home. You have reneged on your responsibility. You have forsaken or abandoned your responsibility. So she's trying to pull the load for you too, which puts additional stress on the relationship. Why? Because you just don't want to get up off it and do what God has called you to do. That's why. So you're going to blame it on, well, you know, I never knew who my father was, and I never saw a good example of how you do this, and any number of reasons you want to use. But let me explain what the scripture says. Our Heavenly Father is the head of the parenthood ministry. He is the originator, the creator, and the facilitator of the parenthood ministry. The Bible says, when my mother and father forsake me, the Lord will take me up. So you are never without a father, even if you never met him. When one vacates their space, the Heavenly Father takes over. You are never without a father. And you need to acknowledge the Lord and God of your life. You see, he made you. If you want him to respond more often in the fatherhood role, you have to properly acknowledge him. You must receive his son, Jesus Christ, as your Lord and Savior. Well, my mama died when I was a baby. One more time. Our Heavenly Father created everybody, male and female. He is the head and proprietor of the parenthood ministry. If your mother left you, you got another mother standing right there. But you do have to acknowledge God in the parenthood role in your life. You can't go around pretending that you have nobody when you actually have the one.
Amen? Amen. I'm glad we're coming to this understanding. So, amen. We understand that both parties accept full responsibilities for the union.
I've got to say something. You know, the way people will call it dating, we'll just give it that title. I won't say that that's actually what it is, but that's the title we're going to give it. There was a time when the male had to approach the parents of the young lady before there was any dating going on. You had to seek permission to engage and interface with their daughter or niece or grandchild or whomever it was. Well, nowadays, they skip all of that. They meet wherever they meet. They're in everybody's cell phone. They break up over the cell phone. They have completely destroyed and dismantled the proper courtship arrangement. Well, let me tell you something about those old-fashioned courtship arrangements. They provide safety and protection for those that are involved. They set the relationship in right order before God. They allow for the blessings of the Lord to continue as the individuals get to know one another, to determine if it is the Lord's will for them to move beyond mere platonic friendship to the next level. You see, in casting away the barrier, the protection, you make yourself vulnerable for any and everybody. People masquerade as people they are not, especially on the internet. They have a facade, a face that is not real. But here you're sharing all of your personal information, opening yourself up to who knows what. I want to encourage you to ask God to reestablish the proper boundaries in courtship in your life. Let him put those boundaries, those protections, those walls, those doors in place to protect you. We might not have to take you through 5 years of deliverance because you didn't. Is that plain enough? It's too dangerous out there. People have always been liars, but now they're super liars. And here you come, young and naive, thinking, oh, this is my Prince Charming. Let me tell you what you do with that. You say, Holy Spirit, I need you to pull the cover off this. I need you to rip it back and completely expose it to me and explain it to me. This and this and this and this and this and this. So I understand what you're trying to teach me. So when the Holy Spirit says to you that Bob is bisexual, don't sit there and act like you didn't hear him. Ditch Bob as fast as you can. Do we understand? When he tells you that Bob has an anger issue, don't sit there and wait till it explodes. Did I make myself plain? When the Holy Spirit shows you that she's a gold digger, you don't sit there and give her your PIN number to your checking account. Let's not be dumb. Okay? You keep your personal business confidential because you don't really know this stranger. Amen?
All right. Let me see if I can find out where I left off in the sermon. Amen. Amen. Verse 1. Verse 1 of what? Peter. We're going back to Peter. Verse 1. I'm going to talk about it. Peter, 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 1. Verse 1 is instructing the wife to fit in with your husband's plans unless they are immoral or unrighteous. And in some cases, if they don't fit with the budget. Hello. God didn't say throw all your common sense out the window. But he wants the trust. But y'all can't pay the rent on the apartment you're in on time every month. Got it? Okay. Praise the Lord. Whew, hallelujah. God wants you, with his permission, to fit in with your husband's plan. That means that you're going to have to take that plan before the Godhead and get approval. Because you have to obey all the other scriptures too, you know. Mm-hmm. If your husband is not a believer and amenable to live with you, I didn't say he's busting you upside your head every time he comes in high on cocaine. Do we understand? Amenable to live with you doesn't mean just any old thing. Violence and physical abuse in relationships is not only against heaven's law, it's against earth's law as well. Okay. If your husband is not a believer and amenable to live with you, let it be. When you attempt to witness to him and he rejects the truth, Allow the Lord to step in instead of a battle ensuing. Let God step in. He's got all power. Let him deal with that hard head. Live your faith before your husband. Perhaps he will be won to Christ by your godly lifestyle, which offers him respect. That's a very important word in marriage, respect. It means, let me say it this way, this dropped into my brain. It means if you're not working suddenly, and your wife is, you don't go in her purse behind her back
and steal the money from her so you can go down to the bar with your friends. That money is to help pay the bills, because now instead of two incomes, you've got one temporary.
Amen.
And other such matters.
Amen.
The husband must be careful of your wives and thoughtful. That means that selfishness, self-centeredness, P-R-I-D-E, pride, and overbearing have no part whatsoever in the relationship. Husband, too, must adapt to their wife. Tarzan and Jane movie, nor Leave It to Beaver episode, reflect real everyday life. So come out of fantasy land and live in the real world with a real God and a real spouse. Show respect for your spouse, not according to your upbringing, but according to God. Just because your mom used to throw dishes at your dad doesn't mean that you ought to do that to your husband. And just because your dad used to come home and drink a six-pack of beer and cuss her out doesn't mean you need to do that too. I think you know what I'm saying. You get your instructions from God. That is, if you want to stay a Christian.
Praise the Lord. Remember that you and your wife are partners in receiving God's blessing. If you fail to treat your wife as you should, your prayers will not receive ready answers. Amen. That is the truth. Matthew chapter 25, verse 40. Matthew chapter 25, verse 40. Matthew chapter 25, verse 40. And the king shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. So I want you to get this picture real good. You're angry and you're hot mad, and you just let roll out of your mouth anything to your spouse you feel like letting out. Well, just as you've done it unto them, you've done it unto Jesus. That plain enough. If you punched her, you punched Jesus. If she threw the frying pan at you, she threw it at Jesus. If you use every word of profanity you could find, you've done it to Jesus. If you called her your enemy, you called Jesus your enemy. Do we understand? Amen. I want everybody to understand.
How you treat your spouse is how you are treating Jesus. If you lie about your spouse, you are also lying about Jesus. Luke chapter 6, verse 31. 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 And as ye would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise. So, if you're dishing out mistreatment, you're saying that ye also would desire for them to treat you likewise. So what have you done in the spirit realm? You have opened up a door that was closed to allow for a spirit to come in to influence others to treat you the way you treated them. All I can hear is the air conditioning. Amen? We understand spiritual warfare is indeed spiritual warfare. And some need to do spiritual warfare to keep their mouths closed. Exodus chapter 20, verse 16. Exodus chapter 20, verse 16. Exodus chapter 20, verse 16. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Now, most of us recognize this as one of the Ten Commandments. Let me tell you something special about those Ten Commandments. God wrote them on stone with his own finger twice. So, do you think he really means them? He wrote them twice in stone with his own finger. So does he really mean them? Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Well, guess what? Thy spouse is thy neighbor. So if you go to your children and you lie on your spouse, have you sinned? If you just go around spewing it out of your mouth in the garage, have you sinned? All right. Proverbs chapter 25. Proverbs chapter 25, verse 18. Proverbs chapter 25, verse 18. Proverbs chapter 25, verse 18. A man that beareth false witness against his neighbor is a maul, M-A-U-L. I'm going to let you look that up because in a previous sermon I explained to you what a maul is, M-A-U-L, not shopping mall, M-A-L-L, no, M-A-U-L. And a sword and a sharp arrow. So that means that when you bear false witness against your neighbor, you are using a maul and a sword and a sharp arrow against them. And we've already determined that when you do it to them, you do it to Jesus. So you can't say that you didn't apply any pain to Jesus when he was going through the process of the crucifixion and dying on the cross. Now, can you?
Amen.
Finally, make every attempt to come to agreement on domestic matters. When you run out of compassion for one another, run to the fountain of life. Psalm 36, verse 9. Psalm 36, verse 9. Psalm 36, verse 9. When you run out of compassion for one another, run to the fountain of life. For with thee is the fountain of life. In thy light shall we see life. So since God is our fountain of life, when you run out of compassion, run to him. Run to him. when you run low on forbearance and putting up with your spouse, Jesus has more than enough forbearance. Run to him. Run to him. Philippians chapter 4, verse 19. Philippians chapter 4, verse 19. Philippians chapter 4, verse 19. You see, it says, but my God shall supply all, A-L-L, your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And he keeps his word. He does this. It says, but my God shall supply, not necessarily your spouse all the time. So if your spouse isn't pouring out the love that you're looking for, but my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Whatever you're lacking, but my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. You ran out of love, but my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Some have not because they ask not. No human is capable of being everything for anyone, not even themselves. Whomever you choose to marry, they share your traits too. Really? Yes. Corruption and flaws. There are no perfect people. There was an old song that said, if you can't be with the one you love, love the one you're with. Well, some spouses still have this ideal spouse in the back of their minds that they love. You know, the perfect one for you. But my wisdom for you today is to love the one whom you chose to marry. Love the one you're with. Don't be angry. Don't be sad. Don't sit crying over good times you wish you'd had. Turn your heartache right into joy. And if you can't be with that fantasy that you love, love the one you married, love the one you're with. Amen. You got that, church? If you can't be with that one you got cooped up in the back of your head after you looked at all those airbrushed images and pornography, love the one you married. Love the one you're with. And that's the end of this sermon. Did you get that? Amen. Mm-hmm. Good. I'm glad you got that. Amen. Brother Bill is over there chuckling. He does that now and again. Amen. You thought she was so wonderful that you told her every lie you could think of to get her. Well, guess what? Love the one you married. Love the one you lied to. Love the one you with. Amen. Well, now you have. Amen. Mm-hmm. So there you have it. I was going to add, when I got to that part last night, I was starting to get kind of tired because I'd been working on the sermon a good part of the day. And I was going to get up this morning and add a few more scriptures, and the Lord corrected me. He said, I don't want you to add one more thing to that sermon. I said, really? He said, I like it just the way you did. Okay. So there you have it. Amen. Amen. Now, if Jesus was satisfied with it, you ought to be satisfied too. Father, in the name of Jesus, we want to thank you for the armor of God. We want to thank you that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. We want to thank you that we can cast all of our cares upon you because you care for us. We want to thank you for divine health. We want to thank you that by the stripes of Jesus we've been healed. We want to thank you for the joy of the Lord, which is our strength. We thank you, Lord, and Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, from our position seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, we bind Satan, the strong man, and all of his evil angels, evil spirits, demonic agents, all of his decisions, timings, maneuvers, tactics, devices, plans, orders, and all of his underlings, and we cancel all demonic assignments and satanic agendas against the righteous in Jesus' name. We take the territory from Satan in Jesus' name. We bind every form of godliness which denies the power of Jesus Christ. We come into agreement with the Father, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit, and we come out of agreement with Satan, his agents, and his wicked powers in Jesus' name. We close and seal all portals, all channels, all open doors of access to the enemy. We pull down all demonic thrones. We bind the wicked principalities, powers, rulers of darkness, and all spiritual wickedness in high places. We release the all-consuming fire of God on every ley line, silver cord, and garland. We bind the demons and workers of darkness in the heavenlies, in the bush, and in the deep. We bind rape and murder to its strong man and dethrone them all, chaining them all in eternal chains and darkness, placing them in the custody of the Holy Spirit. We bind the sources of witchcraft attacks, and we return the attacks onto the hands of the devils that bring them to cling to them for eternity. We bind all trafficking demons, all reporters, watchers, peeps, whisperers, familiar electronic digital technology demons and their attacks. We bind all Leviathan spirits and their attacks, brainwashing Kundalini spirits and their attacks, water and marine spirits and their attacks, all sex devils and their attacks, all unclean spirits and their attacks, passive devils and their attacks, pain-afflicting spirits, sleep deprivation spirits, artificial intelligence, smart dust, and drone spirits in the name of Jesus Christ. We bind all sorcery devils, all seducing, womanizing, whoredom spirits and their attacks, all the voices of the stranger, the charmer, and the seducer and their attacks. Amen. All hypnotic and trance devils, all mystic rituals and their intent. We bind the Havana syndrome, brain changes. You need to be on the phone by now. Brain changes, injuries, all remote viewing, all sonic and audio weapons, all targeted radio frequencies, all pulse weapons and their attacks, all microwave attacks, debilitating sonic frequency attacks. Amen. We bind all 5G and components, everything coming from outer space, from any other galaxy, from any other planet, from any other star, from any other orbit, all man-made satellites put into orbit, all man-made stations placed on a planet. We take authority, dominion, and power over all of the beams and all of the energy weapons that are being used against us from that sphere in Jesus' name. We take authority, dominion, and power over everything coming through a receptor here on earth or through the cell towers and our electronic and technological devices in Jesus' name. We want to thank you, Lord. We bind all electromagnetic attacks, smart technology and particle attacks, techno-paganism, mind control by the occult, force feedback, cyber stalking, cyber sex crime, pornography, demonic curiosity. You need to be on your phone. Bewitching spirits which manipulate modern technology. Pulse weapon microwave radiation attacks, designed to cause neurological problems, brain injuries, debilitating headaches, vertigo, binding, directed energy, microwave weapons, binding all vibrations, which are demons. Thank you, Lord. So we overturn and empty all cauldrons and chalices upon the hands of the conjurers and the magicians. We bind every order of magic and mystic arts, Buddhist, black magic, Santeria, Kabbalah, Egyptian, Chaldean, Hindu, Indian, African, European, North American, South American, indigenous groups, tribal groups, and groups we have not found yet in Jesus' name. We bind their witchcraft. We bind their occult activities in the name of Jesus Christ. We bind all Morgellons attacks, and we return every attack to the senders. We bind the culture of corruption worldwide. We bind Caribbean, Latin American, and Jamaican black and white magic in Jesus' name. We bind all free-flying devils. We bind all evil spirits which take animal forms, all shape-shifting spirits, trapping them into their shifted form for eternity. We bind each demon responsible for the dominion of sin in our culture. We bind hyperactivity, racing mind, inattention, impulsivity, and low levels of dopamine in Jesus' name. We bind the prince of the power of the air. We return his powers to Jesus Christ. We bind the power of the dog and every abomination that's been committed. We bind the Lord of the Flies and his agents, and we place them under the feet of the Lord Jesus. We bind the Mandela effect and all satanic ritual abuse devils, satanic worship, witchcraft dedications, and all rituals done on the phases of the moon. We bind all formations of bullflies and demonic insects. We bind all spiders in their webs, trapping them in their own webs. We bind the transference of evil spirits. We bind Mammon and his agents. We bind all demons sent forth to intimidate, harass, manipulate, lie against, mock, wear down. Excuse me. Yep. Infect. We bind spirits of infirmity, trap, and we bind spirit transference of evil spirits. We bind the gods of the people of the land, the gods of the groves, and every spirit that exalts science, logic, and human reasoning and demonic knowledge against the knowledge of God and makes man wise in his own eyes. We bind Mammon and his agents. We bind all demons sent forth to intimidate, harass, manipulate, lie against, mock, wear down, infect, destroy, spy, sabotage, hinder, monitor, track, besmirch, block, distract, confuse, pervert, stifle, curse, expose, stop, defile, corrupt, undermine, despise, bewitch, tranquilize, assassinate, divide, confound, attack, reproach, and reduce the effectiveness of the righteous in Christ Jesus. We bind the shedding of injected persons upon us. We return and loose these attacks to the senders according to the covenant. We bind the bondage of generations of fools and the spirit of the fool in Jesus' name. We bind the carnal mind. We bind the fool's anger in Jesus' name. We bind food lust, addictions, and gluttony and false flags in the name of Jesus. We return to sender according to the covenant. All and every reprisal, retribution, counterattack, psychic weapon, retaliation, all avenging, all blowbacks, all vengeance, blood rituals, every boomerang, each payback, and all requiting of our righteous warfare in Jesus' name. This includes every evil work, mark, rite, ritual, ceremony, sacrifice, proclamation, pronouncement, vow, root work, or sin against us, astral projection, sending demons to us to work against us, and against all that pertains to us. They're bound in Jesus' name. We cut their silver cords in the name of Jesus. No demon, no wicked person, or unrighteous event left behind. Binding the inordinate use of conjugal rights, returning to sender all witchcraft attacks through channeling and the satellites against the website, binding all abortions as a magical ritual, binding all Cameroonian wizardry, black magic, jujus, hexes, vexes, and such, binding all tribal witchcraft in Jesus' name, returning to sender, binding all covens, cults, conclaves, and cabals, especially those that come under the governance of the Illuminati and the globalists in Jesus' holy name, binding all Chaldean witchcraft and return to sender in Jesus' name, binding all Spanish witchcraft, return to sender in Jesus' name, breaking and destroying our social, emotional, and psychological ties with food and drink, which are displeasing to Jesus Christ, binding superficial religious act and every act of sexual sin, binding magic spells for love, money, protection, black magic, white magic, candle magic, hoodoo, root work, lucky charms, high magic, and folk magic spells, binding the demons of energies, boomeranging their wicked works upon them, binding all magical language, magic signs, magical patterns, even numbering, binding synchrony, binding and caging Poseidon and all other underwater demons and stripping them of their crown, powers, and thrones and transferring them back to Jesus Christ, binding all conjurations and summonings of demons, binding Jewish black magic mysticism, magic writings, magic artifacts, binding the essence of magic and Jewish magic by practitioners, amulets, bowls, precious stones, incantations, divining practices, magic spells and potions, binding all blockages to righteous spiritual reception. In Jesus' name, we bind all vampire spirits, voodoo, hoodoo, ancient arts, mystic rituals, devils attending the New World Order, New Age movement, Great Reset, make-believe, fantasy, fables, la-la land, false religions, numerology, horoscope, the spirits and works of the oppressors and the spirit and the children of disobedience. We bind martial arts, yoga, transcendental meditation, antichrist ideologies and doctrines, Ahab and Jezebelic spirits and practices, lewdness, perversions, the outworking of vain deceit, death spirits, spirits of destruction, chaos, and mayhem, oppression, depression, anarchy, premonition, clairvoyance, EST, telepathy, psychokinesis, out-of-body experiences, reincarnation, haunting, poltergeist, astral travel, psychic healing, demonic meditation, spirit guides, and defilement by wizards. We bind the king of pride and all of his underlings. We chain you with eternal chains under darkness and send you into the spiritual cage and to the feet of Jesus for judgment. We bind all human, demonic, blood, sexual, financial, animal, food, fecal, and soulish sacrifices in Jesus' name. We bind all the sacrifices of the queens of the coast in Jesus' name. We bind all devils attached to idols and idolatry. We bind every form of rebellion, idolatry, root work, mind control, apathy, unyielding, nature worship, deception, scoffing, error, worldly indoctrination, military spirits, idle mind, unfocused mind, rioting, abuse, all trolls, all fear, combative jealousy, fleshly ambition, the culture of corruption, weariness, betrayal, unfaithfulness, violence, and temptation to sin. In Jesus' name, we bind Belial, Beelzebub, Baal, Molech, Basilic, Python, Neptune, Zeus, Apollyon, Kali, all gods and goddesses, Osiris, Isis, On, all false deities, Mammon, Atlas, Baphomet, and his 72. We chain you with eternal chains under darkness and send you to the feet of Jesus for judgment. We undo the work of all demonic weapons, fireballs, poisons, voodoo pins and dolls, hot and cold spots, psychic weapons, prompters, codes, triggers, charms, tumors, designs, signals, and we return their afflictions to the worker of witchcraft and their pagan sources in Jesus' name. We break the powers of every Masonic ritual, rite, ceremony, or prayer, or in Jesus' name. We bind the rituals, the brotherhood, the lodge, the craft, the worship, the grips, Freemasonry, and their Masonic charter, and the rituals of every secret society in Jesus' name. We bind every spirit that was familiar to the Laodiceans. We bind the insanity, pride, work of errors, and foolishness of our own opinions. We bind being misled and misleading others. We return and loose all the retaliations of the enemy upon his own head according to the scriptures. We bind all traditions and customs rooted in sin. We denounce and renounce them all and loose ourselves from them. We bind the gang stalkers and send their fear, harassment, and witchcraft back on their own heads as well as their mind control in Jesus' name. We bind the spirit of slumber. We thank you, Father, that you have given us power over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means harm us. We rejoice with you that our names are written in heaven. We bind every spirit that denies the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ and his blood atonement on the cross of Calvary. Father, we ask for eyes to see, ears to hear, hearts to believe, and minds to receive what the Spirit of God says to the church. We repent of an evil heart of unbelief, and we ask you, Father, to teach us to guard our hearts with all diligence. Lord, we've come to loose the bands of wickedness, to undo heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free, to break every yoke and chain, and to call for justice and plead for truth. Lord, develop in us a love for the truth. Lead us into truth. Your word is truth. Make us to know the truth, and your truth will make us free. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him, binding all electromagnetic energy pollution, binding and returning to sender, all electromagnetic witchcraft, binding magical fantasy movies and TV shows, binding the unreality and escapism of the Hallmark channels, binding the pathways to sin to the mind in Jesus' name. Lord, we've come to celebrate the scriptures with you and to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. We will not turn back from pursuing the enemy until the Godhead does. The Lord Jesus Christ is our commander-in-chief, in whom we serve and obey. Thank you, Lord. We return to sender and bind every demon that has followed us, was sent to us, hitchhiked with on us, transferred to us. We command you to leave us now in Jesus' name. We bind all demons coming through the web pages of the computer, coming through the computer lines, through the cell phones, through any of our devices in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, we pray for the peace of Jerusalem and elsewhere, kings and all who are in authority and all true Christians everywhere, especially those that are imprisoned or being persecuted, and the January 6th prisoners. Though we walk in the midst of trouble, you will revive us. You will stretch forth your hand against the wrath of our enemies, and your right hand shall save us. Father, we cover ourselves with the blood of Jesus, and we cover our mode of transportation, however many modes that may be. And we take authority, dominion, and power over animals and demons in our way so that they do not cross our path. We thank you that you have dispatched your angels ahead of us to protect us. We thank you, Lord. We cover ourselves and our property with the blood of Jesus. We take authority over demons of the day, night, and any other time, bad dreams, night dreams, sex dreams, anyone or anything trying to get into our dreams, trying to do things with us in our dreams, trying to feed us in our dreams. That is witchcraft. That is witchcraft. That is witchcraft. We command them to stay away and ask for giant warrior angels to protect us and our property as we sleep through the night and through the day. We thank you for the wall of fire that surrounds us with your glory in the midst, Father. We thank you for your protections around us. We pull out all sharp pain, all fiery darts, pins, needles, spear, voodoo, witchcraft, curses, anything sent to us from the demonic realm. Anything sent to us from the demonic realm, we return it according to the scriptures, exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think, according to the power that works in us. Right now, we send it back in the name of Jesus Christ. We take authority, dominion, and power, and we bind and cut and sever ungodly silver cords and ley lines and from ourselves, all ungodly soul ties, attachments, covenants, agreements, oaths, consents, garlands, vows, pledges, pacts, leagues, and all other forms of agreement with the demonic realm. I want to tell you, saints, there are times that you need to speak out and disagree, because not to say anything means that you came into passive agreement. I'll say that again. There are times that you need to open your mouth, speak up, and disagree. Because there are times that if you do not, you have complied, maybe not understanding, but complied with passive agreement. Okay, I'll give you case in point. I was playing on my phone, and I ran across this sermon from a man of God. And he was saying this other man who is a minister, who I know of, have seen, have heard, and know about, that this person went over to the LGBTQIA plus community and apologized on behalf of all pastors everywhere. I did not agree with that. So at that moment, I had to open my mouth and say something out loud. Because just to sit there and listen and say nothing means I'm in complicity. I agree with what that man did. I have nothing to apologize to the LGBTQIA plus community for. He cannot represent me. Jesus did not give him that authority. Do we understand? Okay. So let me say this while I'm saying that. Jacksonville Electric Authority, some persons there, decided to spend $75,000 of our money on a party claiming that, well, they deserved it, they needed it. They went through COVID and they went through that. Let me tell you, everybody went through COVID. And Jacksonville Electric Authority is owned by the citizenry of Jacksonville, Florida. We did not grant any such expenditure. That makes it theft. If it had merely been for $25,000, well, we would have said something, but not that much. But no, you decide to raise the rate and then have a party at our expense for $75,000. I did not agree, and I am vehemently opposed to it. In Jesus' holy name. Amen. Amen. They stole from me, and I have something to say about it. So, amen. We break down, destroy, tear down walls of protection around witches, warlocks, wizards, Satanists, nanotechnology, globalists, shamans, sorcerers, divinators, liars and such, thieves and such. And we destroy and break the powers of all the curses, hexes, vexes, charms, love spells, fetishes, psychic prayers and thoughts, witchcraft, death, bewitchment, potions, jinxes, brain frequency meditation, all mind control, voodoo, magic, sorcery, destruction, sickness, pain, and torment, psychic power and psychic warfare, incense and candle burnings, incantations, chantings, ungodly blessings, hoodoo, crystal, woodwork, tribal rituals and sin, and everything else being sent to us from the demonic realm. We send it back to the sender according to the covenant, exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. We return spirits of hate, bitterness, murder, envy, jealousy, wizardry, sorcery. Spirits of blindness, spirits of bondage, spirits of heaviness, fear, and hate, and all the yokes that you attempt to put on us that are not of Jesus Christ. We break your grip and hold in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you for the time that we have spent together in holy worship before your throne. We thank you for the grace of God that has been upon me and upon us to receive your words to us today. We want to thank you for every opportunity that we have to come together to do spiritual warfare. We give you praise. We give you glory. We give you honor. And we're going to remember that our time with you began at noon. Our season of seeking the Lord began today at noon. Amen? Amen. So we will be governed by what we have determined, what you and I have determined, they're going to be governed by. I didn't pick it all. I just had to record it and pass it on to you. Amen? Rise for the benediction. Amen. Now our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God, even our Father, which hath loved us and hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace, comfort your heart and establish you in every good word and work. In the name of Jesus, I release this blessing upon you in Jesus' name. And nobody said I received it. God bless you. Amen. Pastor loves you. If you need to recast, by all means, recast. The song of worship for our time of worship with the Lord has already been posted in the chat room. and I'll be nice and post it again for you. Okay, Pastor loves you. God bless. Spend your time in prayer with the Lord today. Amen. Da 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 da. There it is. Okay.
Some have called